end abruptly, but we don't have to. Amen. Oh, God is so good.
Amen.
This is what he says to us today. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love. And And we trust in the love he has for us. This is 1 John 4. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us, so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. Perfect love casts out all fear. But it says it like this. It says, but love's perfection drives fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. Think about that. Anyone can say, I love God, yet have hatred towards another believer. This makes him a phony, because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others, because God is love, and love is in us, God's love, and that's perfect love. And I was worshiping the Lord down there. The Lord said, we are God's love army. We are an army of love. And there's a reason. This world needs love, okay? God is love, and that's the only thing that's going to change this world, is his love. And we are his army, and we got to spread that love around. Amen? All right, you're all in agreement with that, it sounds like. Uh-huh. Good! You're alive today? Let me put some lights on. Okay. I guess everybody was out partying last night, huh? Sorry. I just need to see your faces, that's all. It's good to see everybody this morning. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We send our love out to you. God sends his love out to you. We love God. Where's Scott? Home. Okay, is he doing okay? Okay. All right. Glory, glory, glory. Well, before we get into any praying for other people, because there's some people in our church that really need some prayer today, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And the scripture, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand and the girls will come around and give you one. If you want to give through a credit or debit card, you have to turn around and see Deja today. Okay, the scripture last night that came out is Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. We've been given the power to make wealth. Well, you guys are really excited today. I don't know what happened to me. I came in here really tired and sluggish, and all of a sudden I'm like, I feel like I put myself in an electric socket or something. I know. That's how God is, you know. When we're weak, he's strong, right? When we're tired, he energizes us. So anyway, Eve's in the hospital recovering from an operation. She's doing well. She has no pain. So hopefully she'll be released either tomorrow or Tuesday. Our friend Alan, who sits in the back, he's going in for heart surgery on Tuesday. And he needs prayer for that. He needs a new valve. Heart valve, so we need to keep him in prayer. Linda Smith, I got another report, I think it was yesterday. She now has an infection in her kidney. So they're trying to deal with that now. So she needs prayer. Is there anyone else that I'm missing? Scott needs continued prayer for his leg. What else? Because you're going like this. You're giving me a look. What else? Huh? You're not going to say it? Okay. I guess God knows. So, Father, we lift up Scott right now, and you know what's going on in his life and in his body. So, Lord, we pray for healing right now to come into his leg. And his mind, his will, his emotions, Lord. We thank you for setting him free. We thank you for healing his body in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Eve, and we thank you, Lord, for her continued restoration in her body, Lord, that you're healing her quickly and you're restoring it. And we thank you that there's no pain in Jesus' name, and she will be released. And Lord, we lift up Alan to you this morning. And Lord, we bind any kind of fear right now. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. We send peace into his mind right now. We say, no fear, no pain. I told him to repeat that. No fear, no pain. No fear, no pain. Just like Annette, right? And Lord, we thank you that he'll come out and recover and be restored to perfection like a new man. We lift up Linda Smith to you, Lord, and we just pour the blood of Jesus all over that woman's body. Lord, we just ask for complete restoration and recovery from everything that she's been attacked in right now, Lord, and to stop the continuation of different things coming up. Lord, we ask and we speak life into her body right now, and by the stripes of Jesus, she is healed, she is whole. She is delivered. She's regaining strength and energy and newness of life. And anyone else, raise your hand if you need healing in your body. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that you would touch these people that raised their hands right now. All pain must go in their bodies, from the top of their heads to the very soles of their feet. We declare them healed, whole, and delivered. Every ache, every pain, every discomfort, you go now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I see a Valentine in there. Oh, okay. Oh, it's for you. She's got a card in the offering basket. Oh, she put it in there. All right. Okay, you guys are good? All right. Well, let's pray over the tithes and offerings this morning. Paul's in agreement. So, Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings unto you this morning, Lord, and we pour the blood of Jesus all over those, too. And Lord, we cover our finances in the blood of Jesus. We cover our bank accounts in the blood of Jesus. We cover our wallets in the blood of Jesus. We cover our investments in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for multiplying. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to set us on high in the area of wealth, because you said that you've given us power to get wealth. So everyone in here has the ability to get wealth, to establish as a covenant on this earth. So Lord, we thank you for that scripture. Lord, we thank you that every bill is paid, every loan is paid. We cancel out any debts that people have. They're wiped out, forgiven. Blood of Jesus all over them too, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for financial increase coming to your body of believers, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Whew, okay. So be it. Paul, you're so enthusiastic. Wow. Okay. All right, I'll give the schedule, and then we'll have Annette give her testimony. All right. So after church, if you like pineapple, I notice this fresh pineapple back there. Okay, so don't leave home without a pineapple. Don't leave home without it. I know. Okay. All right, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have our prayer time. March 3rd, the first Tuesday in March, we are going to start a Bible study, and that's Tuesday before prayer from 2 o'clock to 3, and we will end exactly at 3, and there's no pressure to stay for prayer. Amen? Okay, now in case of any bad weather, I will text you if I have your cell phone number and cancel service for that Sunday as early as I can. And hopefully I don't have to do that anymore. No more snow is right, in Jesus' name. Okay, all our messages are recorded and posted on our website. Don't make me laugh, guys. Okay, we had a good time last night. Yeah, fellowshipping. So anyway, up and coming guest speakers in March 8th, 2026, Sunday at 10:30, we'll be with Ed Callens. And then in July 11th and 12th, Dean Braxton will be with us. On Saturday, it'll be a worship seminar, and then Sunday, he will preach. So that's coming up pretty soon. Let's transport. Amen. Not too fast, I know. Our journey is every day. Even if we're always looking out there, it'll be better. Out there, it'll be better. Yeah. We have to live one day at a time. Okay, Annette.
I left for church last night. My son, I knew he had a card for me, right? And he gives me cards all the time. So the card is not the big thing, but the words on the card. Sometimes when you have a child who's someplace else and they get mad at you or they do whatever they do to upset you, you're feeling really bad. Okay, and so he left his card. So when I came home from church Sunday, this is what the card said. And when I read it, I said, I'm going to share this, you know, especially for the mothers that have children that are putting them through right now. Okay, and it says, Mom, she's the one who has a heart full of love, who feels your struggles and shares your joy. She's the one with the infinite capacity to love you, to want the best for you, and to have faith in you. She's been your first friend, your guardian angel, your cheerleader, and your rock. She's the one who can't thank enough, and you love always. She's Mom. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you with love from your son. And when I read that, you know, I mean, we don't really have a problem, but we have a problem. But when I read that, I said to myself, these are the words that he can't say to me. This is what he's not able to express to me. And it brought me another level of joy of God saying, this is where his heart is really at. And you just wait. He's coming, you know. And so I'm just waiting on the Lord and trusting him for him to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, because I know it's going to happen.
We agree. When two or three agree, in Jesus' name shall come to pass. Brad, you have a testimony?
No.
Oh, you couldn't see her? Okay. Sounds good. All right. You ready to hear the word this morning?
Yes.
Me too. I'm going to talk about Jesus today. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, through us, even in this world, Lord. And, Lord, I know we're going to be talking about you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to preach through me with this message, teach, preach, whatever you want to do through me, Lord. And I thank you in the name of Jesus for this message. I thank you that our eyes, ears, and spirits are open to see, hear, and open our minds, because that's what this is about. We need to open our minds and get revelation like we never did before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The name of my message today is The Mind of Christ. So a while ago, I was sitting quietly by myself and just sitting there meditating, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord say to me, your thoughts are energy. So I've been meditating on that for weeks, and I'm telling you, it's mind-blowing, to say the least. So I began studying everything in the Bible pertaining to thoughts, the mind, ways of thinking. And I tell you what, that our minds are very powerful and we don't use them. We have abilities that we have not been tap into yet. And there's some people that have. And they became very powerful, inventive, and very wealthy beings. They use their thoughts to create and manifest what they desire. And this revelation can be used for good and evil. The world has become so evil that it looks like the enemy is winning. The enemy is the one who uses the power of the mind to his advantage to win at his game. But greater is our God, and he's in us, right? Because we are the light in this world. This is a dark world we're living in. Romans 12:21 says, do not be conformed by evil, but conquer evil with good. Not only did I research the Bible, but I looked at the science on the mind. I looked up quantum physics and the thoughts of the mind. Quantum physics, now I don't know everything about this. I'm just going to, you know, give you what I found, because I'm not there yet, okay? This is mind-blowing for me. Quantum physics is the branch of science that describes the behavior of matter and energy at the smallest scales. It's about how the universe's smallest parts work. Now, this is what it says. Quantum physics and the thoughts of the mind. The relationship between quantum physics and the thoughts of the mind is a complex and multifaceted topic. Quantum physics suggests that our thoughts and actions are interconnected with the physical world, potentially influencing reality. Here are some key points regarding this connection. Excuse me. Quantum mechanics states that the mere act of observing a system can change its behavior. This means that our thoughts and actions, which are essentially observations, can affect the reality we perceive. The phenomenon of quantum entanglement suggests that two particles can be connected across space and time. influencing each other regardless of distance. This could imply that our thoughts and actions are not just local, but can have a global impact. Quantum principles such as the observer effect and entanglement suggest that our thoughts can manifest reality. This means that our focused attention, emotions, and beliefs can influence how energy collapses into form, potentially shaping our external reality. Did you get that? A lot. And if you want to know more, just look it up, because it's, to me, it's intense, but it lines up with scripture. This isn't New Age, guys. New Age took and learned of the mechanics of the universe and how their creator, which is our God, and they studied the principles of the Bible, but they left God out. They call him divine, the divine, or something like that. Remember, God, our Father, is the creator of the universe, right? He is the creator of all matter and how the universe works. He's the one who did all this. I believe the enemy knows how the mechanics of the universe works and operates. The devil is a spirit who was created in heaven and he was kicked out onto the earth. He knows that the mind and our thoughts give out energy, negative energy and positive energy, good energy and evil energy. Which, whatever thoughts we are putting out, will attract back to us, like to like. You starting to get that? So we must be careful what we're thinking and acting upon, because the darkness will be attracted to it if it's negative, or the light will be attracted to it if it's positive. Negative thoughts can affect our minds, our emotions, and our faith, our trust in God. The Bible teaches us to focus our thoughts that are life-giving, reminding us to guard our minds against negativity, fear, and doubt. God's Word offers us guidance for overcoming negative thinking, teaching us to meditate on what is true, noble, and pure. By fixing our minds on Christ and renewing our thoughts through the Scriptures, we can transform our outlook on life and find peace, even in the world full of evil and chaos. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:5, let's look that up, and that's when Apostle Paul is encouraging us believers to have the mindset of Jesus. Philippians 2:5. You guys are so quiet in here. Really? You like this subject? Good. 2:5. Okay, in the Passion it says, "And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation." In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "But we are to have the mind of Christ, which allows us to view the world through a Christ-centered mind. This transformation involves aligning our thoughts with God's truth and rejecting worldly wisdom." Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 16. This is really good, guys. We can walk in this stuff. Whoo! 1 Corinthians 2:12. Okay. It says, "For we did not receive the spirit of this world system." Hear that? "But the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. Wow. I'm going to read this footnote to you because I thought it was very interesting. It says, we believers possess the Holy Spirit, who reveals the thoughts and purposes of Christ. The revelation of the kingdom of God that Jesus preached was not understood by the intellect of men, but by those who welcomed his truth. Humanly speaking, no one can understand the mysteries of God without the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit now possess the perceptions of Christ's mind and can implement his purposes on this earth. See, Jesus' mindset was aligned with Father God, and in turn, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so we can have the mind of Christ. The ways of Jesus has to be taught. We need to know his ways of doing things. Jesus never had a negative thought. His energy was the same as the Father's. His energy was, you know, he had the Father's energy and his perceptions. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, first, thank your Father. Ask the Lord for what you want. Believe for what you asked for. In your mind, you have to see it in your mind and in your imagination. He's saying, image it and how it looks and how it feels. Also, believe you receive it and trust you already have it. Now, I'm going to share some scriptures on that, but I'm going to use Annette. Is it okay if I use you? Okay. Annette is always saying to me, I want a new place. I need a new place to live. So, Annette, this is what you have to do. You're believing for it, right? And you've been asking the Lord for it, and you're thanking him. Now you have to see yourself in that place, how you're going to decorate it, what it's going to look like. Everywhere, the kitchen, you know, everything, all your pots and your pans and your everything, and feel yourself in that place. Of course, you're receiving it now. You see it for yourself. So you're manifesting that, okay? Because the enemy's going to probably keep, you're never going to have that. Is that what he's saying to you? Annette, you're never going to get that. So stop it. But if you dwell on the goodness of God, he wants you to have a nice place, right? There's no doubt in that. You're not asking for anything evil. You're asking for something good. So let's turn to Mark 11, 22, 24. This is starting to make sense a little bit. Mark 11. 22, 24. The same with healing. I just got this right now, the Lord's saying. I remember Jesus is speaking now, right? Jesus already healed you. We have to feel what it feels like to have no pain. Just put that in your mindset. I'm living with no pain. I could do anything I want to do. I don't have any pain in my body. Right? Yes, that's what we have. We dwell on that so it'll manifest into you, because the enemy is out there waiting for you to say, oh, I got so much pain. I can't stand this pain. So he comes back And he said, you need pain? I'll give you some more pain. You know, that's how he is. He's so we don't want to go there anymore, right? Okay, Mark 11, 22, 24. Okay, Jesus says here, let the faith or trust of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain, with great faith or trust, having no doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced. He's saying, be convinced. How are you convinced? Because your mindset's on it, right? That you have received it and it will be yours. So you got to speak it out. You got to keep saying it. You got to trust that it's coming towards you. Be fully convinced. Don't change your words and get into doubt. Okay? Now, it's telling me to read it out of the Jewish Bible here. Mark 11, 22. All right, let me look that up. I don't think I told you that one. I was trying to be a little gracious to you. It says it a little different. Okay, it says it like this, because last week I gave you the message on, in the Jewish Bible, they don't use faith, they use the word trust. It changes everything. To me, it does. So it says, he responded, Jesus said this, have the kind of trust that comes from God. Yes, I tell you that whoever does not doubt in his heart, but trust that what he says will happen, can say to the mountain. Who are we putting the trust in? Right. Not us. It's God. Wow. Yes. That's right. Amen. That's good. Okay, now let's look up Luke 11:5. Now this is about relationship too. When I read this, I got a revelation on it. It says, then Jesus gave this illustration. Imagine what would happen if you were to go to one of your friends in the middle of the night and pound on his door and shout, please, do you have some food you can spare? A friend just arrived at my house unexpectedly and I have nothing to serve him. But your friend says, why are you bothering me? The door is locked and my family and I are all in bed. Do you expect me to get up and give you our food? But listen, because of your shameless imprudence, even though it's the middle of the night, your friend will get up out of his bed and give you all that you need. So it is with your prayers. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll discover. Knock on heaven's door and it will one day open for you. Every persistent person will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he needs. And everyone who knocks persistently will open, will one day find an open door. Ooh, that friend represented God. He had a relationship. That's why he opened the door. Yeah, and that's from last week, our relationship with God. His relationship with his friend opened the door to let him in to give him the food. Our relationship and trust with God opens the door to answering our prayers and to be persistent about it. That means don't change your confession or what you're believing for. Just stay on there. Now, how about the scripture that says Romans 4:17? This is powerful too. Call those things that be not as though they were. This scripture signifies us likened to God's ability to create and bring into existence things that do not exist, to manifest. This concept emphasizes the power of trust or faith. I like to use trust. To believe God, allowing us to manifest our desires and trust in his divine ability to bring about what seems to be impossible. By calling forth these promises, individuals can experience the transformation of trust in our lives. Now, the example, perfect example, and we went over that last week, is in the Complete Jewish Bible and Hebrews 11:1. Okay, I think she's got that. It says, trusting instead of faith, because that's how our regular Bibles say, faith is being confident. But it says it, trusting is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things we do not see. It was for that scripture attested the merit of the people of old. By trusting, we understand that the universe was created through a spoken word of God, so that what is seen did not come into being out of existing phenomena. And I can go on by saying, by trusting, Abel offered a greater sacrifice than Cain. Because of this, he was attested as righteous, with God giving him this testimony on the ground of his gifts. Through having trusted, he still continues to speak, even though he is dead. By trusting, Enoch was taken away from this life without seeing death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For he has been attested as having been, prior to being taken away, well-pleasing to God. And without trusting, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, because whoever approaches him must trust that he does exist and that he becomes a rewarder to those who seek him out. Yeah, I'm just going to let that soak in. Calling things out of your mouths like God did. He created the universe by speaking it, but of course his mind, he was creating it in his mind and it came out of his mouth. Now we're in the same image as God, even though he's a spirit being, okay? So calling things out of our mouths creates or brings back to us what we say. It's up to us. So we have to watch your thoughts, our thoughts. They become our words. Watch our words. They become our habits. Watch our habits. They become your character. Watch your character. They become your destiny. We are the destiny of our lives, basically. It's up to us. Our mindset of Christ is learning truths and being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 says, the common translation is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now I'll read it out of the Passion. 12:2, Romans. Why can't I find it? It's after. Huh? My insides are shaking, guys. Huh? 12:2, Romans. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Even in today, we're surrounded by garbage, chaos, things being put into our minds constantly, always having discernment. Sometimes we fall into it and we start to line up like the world. But we can't do that. Our negative thinking, which puts out or releases negative energy out into the atmosphere, often arises from fear, worry, guilt, or discouragement. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That is connected to our relationship with God. So what, how we think of ourselves is how we're going to be. For if we are in connection with God, or connecting and aligning with Him and aligning with His Word, the negative would turn into positive thinking and positive energy. Positive words would come out of our mouth and cause what we say and think to come to pass. Words are alive, and they will return back unto you. We know that the enemy is a deceiver and a liar, and that there is no truth in him. He is called the father of lies. So to counteract against him, our minds, our thought life, has to line up and be Christ-like. Our minds should be set on doing God's will. In John 4:34, it says, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We should be living to please God as Jesus did. In John 5:30b, the second part of it, Jesus says, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. We are to learn from Jesus, to teach truth, love one another, forgive, take comfort from Holy Spirit, sacrifice for others, spread God's word, have a soft heart. We develop all these things from the teaching of the word, which is Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. The battle for the mind is where Satan attacks through our thoughts. And next week I'm going to do a message called Going Back to the Garden, where it all began. And that's where deception began, and we need to start to walk in discernment. So that's a plug for next week. But anyway, I've been studying a lot, guys. It's just so much. I had to break it down. So going back to Satan attacks through thoughts. Satan attacks the mind with lies, fear, deception, leading us to go astray from God's truths. We must renew our minds with God's word, putting our armor on to stand against the devil's schemes, casting all our worry, all our anxiety, all our fears, all our cares onto him. We're not supposed to carry them or feed our minds on them. We have a tendency, and I'm human too, okay? He's talking to me. We dwell on stuff that we shouldn't. And our minds could go crazy. And we could live in there. And our imagination could really go. And that's my next scripture. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Yes, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish I love these words. Every deceptive fantasy that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One, Jesus. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Now let me read what Paul describes four arenas of warfare. This is in the footnote. It says, we are empowered by grace and with the gospel to dismantle strongholds. We demolish arguments, opinions, theories, and philosophies. We take captive every thought to insist that it become obedient to the mind of Christ. And we stand ready and willing to wage war and defeat the enemy. Woo! Mm-hmm. Yep, this is what we could do. So we have to listen to our minds. What are we thinking on? What are we dwelling on? In Philippians 4, 6 through 9, it tells us how to guard ourselves against negative thoughts, and that is to dwell on whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, on anything that is excellent or praiseworthy. It says, think on these things. That's being absolutely deliberate to do it. We have to do it. We have the power and the discipline to do that. Whenever self-defeating or destructive thoughts creep in, we are to cast them down and redirect our minds towards uplifting thoughts on God's promises. Let the promises come out of our mouths, or somewhat aligning with them. Okay? All right, let me read Philippians 4, 6 through 9 in the Passion. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests or your trust-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure, holy, merciful, and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Follow the example of all that we have imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. Overcoming negative thinking is, you like that? All right, clap. Thank you, Lord. Overcoming negative thinking is breaking harmful patterns of wrong thinking and be replaced with truth. When Jesus himself faced anguish and turmoil, he modeled himself to submit his thoughts and his feelings to the Father. In John 16:33, he states to us, in this world, we will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So I'm going to read John 16:25, and I'm going to end with that scripture. John 16:25. says, I have spoken to you using figurative language. This is Jesus speaking. But the time is coming when I will no longer teach you with veiled speech. But I will teach you about the Father with your eyes unveiled. And I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your relationship with me. For the Father tenderly loves you because you love me and believe that I've come from God. I came to you sent from the Father's presence, and I entered into this created world, and now I will leave this world and return to the Father's side. His disciples said, at last you're speaking to us clearly and not using veiled speech and metaphors. Now we understand that you know everything there is to know, and we don't need to question you further. And everything you taught us convinces us that you have come directly from God. Jesus replied, now you finally believe me, and the time has come when you will all be scattered, and each of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am never alone, for the Father is always with me. And everything I taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Jesus' victory is fully evident in the resurrection. It assures us we can overcome negativity. It is out of this certainty that trust in him arises in us, and our minds can be renewed. If Jesus overcame the world, so can we. Amen to that. Glory. That's the end. Thank you, Jesus. Oof. Yeah, going back to the garden. Wait till you hear that one. And this pineapple in the garden. Start meditating on that. I said that to somebody and they said, I heard that from a prophet. And I said, well, I heard it from God. We got to get back to the garden. Back to the garden. Back to the way it should be and supposed to be, right? Hallelujah. Okay, guys. Father, we just thank you and praise you for today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. You never leave us. Jesus never leaves us. The Father never leaves us. We're surrounded by them. We're surrounded by the angels. We're surrounded. We're always surrounded. We have nothing to fear. And Lord, we thank you that your hedge of protection is always around us. And Lord, we thank you that our lives are in your hands and our destiny. But it's all about us believing it, trusting in it, and acting on it. So Lord, I thank you that we have the mind of Christ, and our minds are constantly being renewed in your word. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for this week. We thank you for open doors of success. Everything that we have need of will be met. Lord, we thank you that your hedge of protection will always be there too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need, yeah, give them praise. I just want to say if anyone needs prayer for anything today, we're here for you. Jim says the pineapple is there for you to take. Trish is going to go back and get some things we ate last night. We have some things left over, and even chicken salad and dips and all kinds of stuff, and fruit and cheese and crackers, and there's coffee and goodies and all that. She'll bring them out. Eve's not here today, so I hope she remembered to put the pots on a coffee. Yay! I got to have my coffee. But anyway, come on up if you need prayer for anything. Have a great week, guys. Blessings.